Hello, welcome back. This is Santi, and it's super exciting to keep doing this podcast. It's something that I've been postponing for a long time, but I really enjoy the topic. I really enjoy the idea of being a jack of all trades in this modern world and all the struggles that we all share and that are just very difficult for us to navigate. I was talking to a friend and he was asking me a really interesting topic that I want to talk about today, and that was the idea of how can we create, for instance, a personal brand as a jack of all trades. Right? Because it's very common if you want to start something like a YouTube channel, a website, whatever you want to do, a podcast, if you're someone that really wants to create and share what you learned, then you probably struggle with the idea of like, shall I make my website on just one topic? Shall I make my YouTube channel on just one specific topic, one very niche, interest that people can come for, and they can just be like, okay, I watch this guy's videos because I really enjoy, let's say, animation, right? Or I read this person's blogs because I really like his take on language learning, you know? So as jack of all trades, it's always hard to know how can we create content that we're both satisfied with, but that we can also build an audience that benefits from it and that doesn't feel confused about what is our brand about, right? So yeah, what I told my friend, he was asking me like, hey, but how is it even possible to create a brand as a jack of all trades, or shall we just specialize and just do one specific thing, you know? And I said quite a few things. One of them was that I'm far from achieving this perfectly. This is something I've been working on, and I have two main approaches that I've been experimenting with, and I'm really trying to see what is the best way to go about things for the long run. You know, the cool things that I'm committed to achieving, the ability of creating my online businesses, my content creation for the long run, and making that line up with my jack of all trades personality. So with that said, I want to share with you the two main mindsets, or the two main approaches that I think one can take if you want to create content as a jack of all trades, right? Approach number one would be to dissect everything you do into different platforms, right? So for instance, if you are interested in, let's say, programming and 3D art and language learning and, I don't know, something else, photography, right? And you want to create content about all these things, it can definitely be useful to split them up under different brands, right? So for instance, you could do a website for each one of them. That can be tricky and hard to maintain. But just to give you another example, something that I've experimented with is create one podcast for each one of them, right? And that way you build separate audiences for each one of those interests. That is something that I've done. I've created 5 podcasts, if I'm not wrong. One was on street magic, another one's on stoic philosophy, another one is, well, this one, and another one I even tried to do about animation, right? These are all things I'm really passionate about, and I recently started one on productivity, which if you're not familiar, I have my YouTube channel, and in there I've been a bit more focused on productivity, note-taking, that kind of stuff, right? So YouTube right now has been the place where I talk about productivity, and I still have my separate podcast for each one of my different things, right? My different topics that I want to talk about. But this approach can definitely feel overwhelming. It can definitely be a lot slower. At least the growth of your audience can feel a lot slower, because then it's really hard to maintain 5 podcasts, maintain 5 different websites, maintain more than one YouTube channel. Like, that is really hard. And even though I still think this approach can do something really good for you, you know, the main thing that it can do for you is help you build a resilience towards failure and towards experimenting, you know, because the more you fail, the quicker you learn. I really believe in learning by failure. So you just put a podcast out instead of like trying to make it perfect from the start and trying to make episode 1 the best episode ever. Just start it, make it, you know, as raw as possible so that you don't have to edit it much. And you know, like if you want to do something where you speak, which would be a podcast or a YouTube channel, for instance, I think it works, or it really helps to at least start without having to edit it too much, because editing is a thing that takes the most time. So if you can learn or at least push yourself towards like maybe speaking like for longer periods of time without having to start again all the time, or without having to edit it later, you know, like that's what I've tried to do. Even this podcast, there's been several parts in the podcast so far right now that I say like, oh, maybe I should start again. Maybe that wasn't perfect enough, you know. Perfectionism is a disease. That is the first mindset that I think we all need to adopt. Perfectionism stops us from achieving any meaningful progress over time. So, you know, say goodbye to perfectionism. It's a bad habit, it's a bad personality trait. Don't pride yourself on being perfectionistic. Actually try to get rid of that, because in order to be a successful jack of all trades, creating content on tons of things, you need to stop being perfectionistic about things. You just need to focus more on quantity. And the more quantity that you put out there, the more of the response you will see from the audience. And also, you will learn a lot faster. You will get better at things like public speaking. And in general, you'll just lose your fear of being judged and putting yourself out there, right? So I think that is really, really important. And that way, you also get to see, like, maybe, you know, like maybe I have like my podcast on street magic. And even though it's something I'm really passionate about, maybe, you know, like I start noticing that people seem to gravitate a bit more towards my philosophy podcast. So I can, if I want to, I can decide to spend more time on the philosophy podcast rather than on the magic podcast. And that way I can decide where's my time best spent, right? So with that said, it's important to really understand the idea that you learn through failure, right? You learn by experimenting on different areas and on different like forms of content creation, and you get better at public speaking, you get better at not having to edit things, and that way you can achieve more through quantity. That was the idea that I was going to say. The reason why quantity is so important is because you learn so much from quantity. You know, if you always aim for quality, you'll be stuck in perfectionism, you will never publish anything, and I think it's really, really hard to achieve, let's call it a multi-niche brand where you covered several topics if you're too perfectionistic and you're too focused on quality. Focus on quantity. That way you get to see how people are reacting to what you do. You get to see people maybe don't enjoy that topic from your point of view, and that way you can move faster and reiterate quicker, right? So either way, all of that is one approach, right? Having like five different podcasts, five different websites, five different YouTube channels. It is possible, and it's really hard. I've tried it. It's really, really hard to maintain all of that. But at least you get to see where people are resonating with you, what kind of you know, specific topics people like. And that way you can make a choice. Make a choice if maybe the ones that people don't like too much, you know, like, again, to give an example, my magic podcast, people don't listen to that one as much as another one that I have on Toki Pona, which is a constructed language, a whole different thing. I'll leave links if you want to check what I'm talking about out. But yeah, that way you can assess, like, is this something I enjoy, that even though not many people are listening to it, do I still want to keep creating content of that? If the answer is no, you can just drop it. You can, you know, it's okay to quit. That's another mindset we need to learn, that it's okay to quit. You know, you can move on to the next thing. That is the best thing about being a jack of all trades. Like, you never feel defeated. Like, if you fully fail on one thing, you always have your other interests to try that out. So you can always assess, like, okay, not many people listen to this specific podcast. Do I want to keep going? Am I passionate enough to keep going? Or do I want to spend my time focused on the ones, on the podcast that is doing better, on the website that is doing better, right? All of that is one approach. It can definitely feel exhausting, but it's definitely, I believe, is a place to start. I think that builds your confidence, that builds your, say, speaking skills, for instance. And yeah, just like gets you over the fear of putting yourself out there. So I really recommend starting like that. I think podcasts are actually a good one because there's not much pressure, you know, even though it's hard to predict for me, for instance, like how many of you are listening to this right now, you know, like I just never know. But either way, it's not like putting yourself out there in YouTube. Like in YouTube, it almost feels like if you put yourself out there in YouTube, that video is going to be there for years and years, and someone might stumble upon it, and you might be embarrassed about the things you said in the past or something like that. Whereas podcasts, I don't feel like that many people go back to really, really old podcasts. Podcasts is more about like, what is the newest episode? I'm gonna check that out. So I think podcasts is a good medium to experiment with this idea. Okay, let's move on to the next idea, right? So what we just talked about is a way in which we can create for different platforms, different podcasts, different websites, so on, right? Now, the other approach is to put everything under the very same platform, under the very same, let's call it channel, you know? In the case of YouTube, it's actually called a channel. in a podcast would be everything under one podcast, everything under one website. Now, from what I've learned, I think the approach of everything in one place works better if it's a website. That is a place where it works the best because websites rely fully on people searching on things. You know, so when people search on Google or whatever, they stumble upon a specific blog post that they're interested in, and then they consume that content, and they might go around your website and see what else you're talking about. So websites are the platform that are best suited for jack of all trades. I'm not really saying that every website is like this, but I've noticed and I've read a lot about why this approach works really well for a multi-niche website, you know, because then you can even create a business model around, say, something like affiliate links or creating your own digital products that you sell. And yeah, websites are very well suited for that because you can organize everything the way you want it and you don't have restrictions. You know, the more you want to customize your website, the better ability you have to be able to organize things in any way that you want. You know, a website can be very organized and you can have specific sections on your website, one dedicated to language learning, one dedicated to 3D art, one dedicated to street magic, whatever, right? Like the website can be super well organized. It really depends on what platform you use to build your website or if you want to learn something like programming and coding to build a website of your own. You know, that really expands your possibilities. So websites are great, but they're definitely hard and the barrier to have a great website is really hard. Also, like for me personally, I find it a lot easier to speak rather than to write at length. You know, I like writing, but I do find it a lot easier to just speak and put my thoughts out there. Like for instance, right now, I don't have any scripts. This is something that is just coming out of my mind because I've been thinking a lot about these things. But I know my thoughts can be a bit scattered and I might lose you at times, but hopefully it's engaging enough that if you listen this far, hopefully it's somewhat interesting. But either way, it depends on what medium you're the most comfortable. If you're still scared of doing a podcast, if you're still scared of speaking, putting yourself out there that way, starting by writing blogs can definitely be a bit easier. It's less of a barrier and it can feel a bit less scarier. Do I have water over here? No. Let me pause it. I need to get a sip of water. All right, I'm back. I had my water. Are we recording? Yes. Okay, cool. All right, where were we? So, yeah, I mean, definitely trying to find where you feel more comfortable putting yourself out there. Definitely starting by writing blogs is definitely a good idea. Now, like I said, websites is a good place because you can organize everything, right? The other approach, which is something that I've thought a lot about, but it definitely feels a bit more difficult, is to have like a podcast where you talk about absolutely everything. The real problem with that is that podcasts don't really have much functionality to organize things. You know, like the features in a podcast are very limited. All you have is like a list of episodes, one after the other. And really the one that most people listen to is just the latest episode, right? So the problem with doing a multi-niche approach, as we're calling it, in a podcast is that it can definitely feel a bit confusing if someone follows you because you talk about Linux, you know, or like programming. And that's what they heard, a really cool episode that you made on your podcast. Then they come back to your podcast and then the latest episode is talking about, you know, like Esperanto, the constructed language, which I really enjoy. you know, they'd be like, wait, what happened? Like, didn't I come to listen about programming? Why am I listening about something completely different? So that can definitely feel a bit strange for the listener, for the consumer, for the user, or the, let's call it, whatever it is, you know, it can be a viewer, a listener, or a reader of your content. You know, it can definitely feel a bit strange in this case in podcasts because they'd be like, huh, I really thought this guy made content on programming. Why is he talking about languages? You know, like constructed languages like Esperanto or magic or 3D art, right? Or animation. It's like, what? These things are unrelated. So it can definitely, that is the biggest challenge, you know, like that is why so far I haven't fully experimented with a podcast that talks about tons of different things. If you look at someone like Tim Ferriss, you know, which I assume you might be familiar with because he's one of the biggest podcasters. Well, I don't listen much of him, but I'm pretty aware of him. And I've actually seen more of his content in YouTube and I've read his books. But he has an interesting podcast because it seems like he covers like two or three topics, right? Which, if I'm not wrong, is kind of like some sort of self-improvement slash philosophy, and also biohacking, and what else? I don't know. Not even sure about what he's talking about half of the time. But yeah, I mean, he has kind of like merged two to three different interests of his and made a successful podcast out of that. That is one really good approach that I think could work, you know, especially if the interests that you want to cover are somewhat related. Okay, water break. Give me a second. Okay, we're back. Okay, so yeah, especially if you have a podcast like his, right, and you combine a couple of interests that you have and you manage to make them somewhat related. Let me try to see if I come up with an example, you know. So, okay, for instance, let's say we're talking about, this was a podcast on programming, right? And then on, you know, the next episode, I talk about web design. That even though, you know, programming is a very broad term, but maybe we're talking about Linux in particular. And then the next episode, we're talking about web design. You know, that's not a big stretch. It's very likely that the same audience will be interested in both. Not necessarily, you know, not everyone that's into programming is into Linux. But they're still somewhat related. And then you could even go as far as, I don't know, like talking about productivity apps, you know, even though it's a slightly different audience, like not everyone that is a programmer cares about productivity apps or note taking, but it's still somewhat related, you know, like I think one could make that work. And then you're applying this idea of combining your interests to make something unique, right? So I don't remember who said this, but it's a really cool concept, right? Like someone was saying like, hey, I'm not the best comedian. You know, someone that was a comedian as a profession, like he knows he's not the best comedian. He was like, yeah, there's people that are funnier than me. And then I'm also into marketing, right? I like marketing. I like selling products to people. I like marketing businesses and so on. And that guy was like, yeah, okay, I'm not the best marketer either. There's definitely people that are way more talented and, you know, dedicated than I am. But I am the best comedian marketer around, you know, that is what he was saying. He was like, okay, I might not be the best comedian, might not be the best marketer, but I'm the best comedian that knows how to market himself, you know, things like that. So figuring out ways in which you can combine interests to get something unique can be definitely a good way to create content as a jack of all trades. So let me see if I can give you another example of combining two interests that maybe are not that common and that would make you the best one at doing that specific thing, right? Let's see. So, okay, one that I've thought about that I actually tried, you know, I was creating content on Stoic philosophy. So Stoicism, ancient Roman philosophy, right? And where was it? Yeah, okay, so I had a podcast regarding, you know, those topics on philosophy. Sorry, let me have another water break. Oh, I'm really thirsty today, either way. Sorry. So, yeah, okay, I was creating content for my podcast on Stoic philosophy, and then I was also creating content about Stoic philosophy on Instagram. I had one page on Instagram, and in there, I was trying to combine two of my passions, right? I didn't do this for the whole account, but I definitely tried it with a few posts. I was trying to combine philosophy and street magic, you know, close-up magic with cards. I was doing some magic tricks that I created, and I was trying to give it a philosophical narrative, you know, so maybe some quote or maybe some idea from Stoic philosophy that I wanted to represent by storytelling through close-up magic. And I made a couple of videos of that, and it was pretty unique. I don't think many people have done that to that specific extent. Like, I've definitely seen people, you know, performing magic, for instance, talking about something slightly philosophical, but making it very related to, say, Stoic philosophy. I doubt anyone else has done that. So I managed to be the best one doing magic. You know, I know I'm not the best magician, and I know I'm not the most knowledgeable on philosophy or even Stoic philosophy. But when I combine those two things, I'm definitely the best stoic philosophy magician, because there's probably no one else out there doing something like that. You know, so doing things like that, even though I didn't stick to that for long, I definitely saw a good response and people really, really liked it. So I'm trying to actually do more things like that. But like combining interests can definitely be a great, great way to create something a bit more unique. Water break. By the way, if you hear a lot of background noise, yeah, I mean, there's a construction outside. I think they kind of stopped right now, but there was definitely a motorcycle outside. Either way, hope you don't hear that much. So let's get back to the topic. So, you know, I think there's these different approaches. You know, to recap a bit, we can definitely have different platforms where we talk about different things, different podcasts, different videos, different blog posts, whatever. Or you can try to unite everything in the one place. In YouTube, for instance, that is something that I want to do. And one of the biggest takeaways that I realize is that people come to you for a particular interest, right? They always come to you for whatever topic they're interested in, right? Like right now I'm making YouTube videos about productivity software, and people come and find my YouTube channel because they're searching for that. But if I'm enough of a likable person, if I feel like a friend that is just giving them advice and they feel like they relate to something I say, or, you know, they just like me, then they're more likely to stick around to see what I create next. So that is the strategy that I'm aiming for right now. I'm trying to do that for the long run, you know, having a setup where I create tons of very specific videos about things that I'm passionate about. And I try to be authentic enough that people stay around for who I am, so that when I make videos on a different topic, they might be like, oh, what is this, right? I make videos about productivity software, but then the next week I'll be like, I want to talk about me learning Italian or me learning Latin, right? Which is something that I'm doing and I'm really enjoying and I want to talk about. You know, they see a YouTube video, be like, oh, this guy is learning Latin. I don't know anything about Latin. What's up with that? Why is he learning Latin? You know, and then people can be like, oh, okay, wow, he's learning Latin. That's really cool. I might give Latin a try. And then next week I'll be like, hey, I'm learning 3D art, you know, or like I'm trying to get better at 3D art. People will be like, oh, look, the guy that makes productivity videos and made that video about Latin now is making 3D art. What is 3D art? And then they might watch the video. You know, that is the goal that I want to go for. And the biggest thing is that when I started making content, especially on YouTube, I was 14 or so. This was like 11 years ago. Yeah, 11 years ago. Yeah, that makes sense. And when I started creating content, I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just exploring as many topics as I like, and I don't really care about money because I'm a kid, you know. As a kid, I didn't really care about the money because, you know, I didn't have to worry about money. I was lucky enough to have my parents, you know, help me out to go to school and so on, and, you know, pay for my living expenses and give me a roof to live under. But now that I'm a bit of a grown-up, I just say a bit because I still feel like a child inside, which is great because that curiosity that us jack of all trades have is definitely something we share with kids, something to be proud of. But either way, I'm 25 right now and I moved away. I lived in England for a couple of years and now I live with my girlfriend here in Ecuador, South America. This is where I was born. We came back here and yeah, we are living in an apartment right now. And now that I have to pay my expenses, I'm a little more concerned about making money. And because I really want to, you know, have my own business, live out of the content that I create online, now I have to be a bit more concerned about money. And the biggest thing that I really learned is that, for instance, having a YouTube channel and just making scattered videos all over the place is definitely really, really hard, especially if you're relying on something like YouTube ads to make a living. Like that can definitely be really, really hard. Because, you know, it's hard to build a very loyal audience that keeps coming back every week if you're not a specialist, if you're not having content on just one niche, you know. But if you do what I'm doing, at least right now, which is like creating your own products that you sell, that is what I'm doing. Like I'm selling online courses on productivity apps, and I talk about them in YouTube. So in YouTube, I promote them, I market them. I don't make a living from the YouTube ads that I get, but I do make a living from the revenue I make from selling my online courses. And that's how I manage to pay rent, and that's how I make a living. And eventually, I would like to make more online courses on the different interests that I have and market them on YouTube, on podcasts, and so on. So that is what I'm doing, and it's really working. You know, I want to definitely get to a point where I have enough online courses on various of my different interests. And yeah, I mean, eventually being able to just make a living from there and maybe making, you know, the public content that I make on YouTube, on podcasts, on my website, you know, make that a bit more free and allow myself to just speak about different topics freely on these different mediums, and being able to just express myself creatively, knowing that the real revenue is coming from the people that I manage to serve through online courses. I add extra value to them. I give them a very curated structure place where they can learn a specific skill. And from there is a win-win. You know, I make money out of that. They learn what they need to learn. And then I also manage to make my public spaces where I speak, YouTube and this podcast or my several podcasts, and make them more creatively free. You know, I don't need to worry too much about things like sponsors if I don't want to. And I don't really need to worry about building the biggest audience, because all I care about it at the end of the day is being able to help the people that are interested in buying my courses, for instance. I know that they're benefiting from that. I'm benefiting financially from that. I'm able to make a living and have a bit more creative freedom to do whatever I want in YouTube or in podcasts or on my website. That is one route. That is one that I'm going for. I definitely want to test the idea of having like this multi-niche YouTube channel where I talk about all these different topics. So we'll see how that goes. Wish me luck. Check out my YouTube channel if you want to see how that goes. So far, it's a lot about productivity. But if you're into that, do check it out. And yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying doing this podcast. It's really therapeutic for me to talk about this. It's definitely things I have in my mind constantly. And to be honest, I don't know that many jack of all trades, especially not in real life. You know, tons of my friends are specialists. And the only people I managed to meet that are jacks of all trades is really through people that I've reached out through this podcast or the other places where I talk about this. So if this resonates with you, please do reach out. I'll leave my contact information in the show notes. So do check that out if you want to just have a conversation, you know, have more updates on what I'm doing. And yeah, eventually I would like to make something like maybe a paid community for jacks of all trades to help each other out, or we could have something like group calls or something really cool like that, because I haven't seen much of that existing. And maybe an online course for how to be a jack of all trades, or maybe resources, especially for creator jack of all trades, because when it comes to organizing everything you need to do, I have a lot of knowledge in productivity applications that can help with that. So that could be something really cool. So if you're interested in any of these things, please reach out, let me know. That is the best way I can really serve you and help you, by knowing what questions do you have, maybe what things you'd like me to discuss in this podcast. So with that said, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope it wasn't too long. And even if it was, thank you for sticking to the end. If you're listening to this, it means you're awesome and you did make it to the end. So yeah, check out the links in the show notes to, you know, reach out and yeah, see what I'm up to. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Keep jack of all trading. That is a cool outro. Maybe I'll stick with that. See you later. Bye.